Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 Eastern Standard Time to 8:30-ish. And as we come tonight, we are excited because we are reviewing the book by Dr. Charles Spurgeon entitled Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. So join us tonight. We always start off with devotion, which is start off with scripture, with a prayer, with scripture, music, and intercessory prayer in that order. And we'll just go one behind the other. And so asking who we have on the line tonight. It looks like we've got Margaret and we've got Bishop Michael. And Margaret, Bishop Michael, do you have a scripture you want us to read or Margaret to read?
I believe it's, I just had it. I just had it. 1 John 1:7.
1 John 1:7.
And okay, we can back up to 1 and finish through 7.
Margaret, are you there? Margaret,
yes,
are you there?
I'm here.
Can you read 1 John 1:1-7.
Okay, just one second.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and start. God, we come before you tonight, and we're so excited that we are here. We are asking, oh God, that you allow us your entrance to the throne room. As we come, we are filled with excitement and joy, wondering what revelation knowledge that you will impart. Lord, this is an awesome, awesome time, because we are going to review different methodologies for praying and different things that we can add to our prayer life to enrich it so that we can have a closer walk with you. But we're hoping that our prayer time will not only strengthen us, but that it will be sweet incense into your nostrils as we grow. We ask these blessings tonight, and we ask that you be with us as we go forward. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Scripture.
1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. We worship him because of who he is. What a way to acknowledge our God. We're not coming to him because we want something, but we worship him just because he exists and who he is. Hallelujah. Today is when we come right now. It's when we come to make our petitions known before the Lord and to seek his face for our brethren, our loved ones, for the world, for the church. And so we want to come and pray, intercede, go into the throne room of God. Are there any prayer requests at this time?
This is Margaret in Brooksville. Mm-hmm. How are you doing?
Wonderful. How are you, Margaret?
I'm a little under the weather, got the allergies, and feel a little tired, a little congested in my head. But I do have a praise report. I want to make a praise report that my mother, I got her to pray the prayer of salvation with me, 92 years old.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. All of heaven is.
I know you're still dancing.
Well, it came an opportunity when she said, "I pray to Saint Anthony. That's the one saint I pray to," and I just couldn't help myself.
All right.
And she accepted it.
Amen to that. Amen. God is able.
Thank you.
And my other prayer request is simply for the families that have lost loved ones with all these massive shootings going on.
Come on,
I just want to pray and thank the Lord for all our family members who are alive and well today, and just pray for the mercy and grace and blessing to fall upon these poor families who have lost their loved ones.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Are there any other prayer requests?
This is Dr. Susie. Can you hear me?
Yes, Dr. Susie, I can hear you.
So I want to ask for revival in the church. I want to ask that God's people would recognize that the time is growing near, that our Lord will be back to take us home. And if they are watching the signs of the time and the fact that the world is very much controlled by the prince of this world, the chaos and the evil, that the lack of concern for lives, as Margaret was bringing up the issue, the most recent California situation, and that even those that we want to turn to for help are being swayed by the enemy to do that which is not good. So not even being having some places where we can turn for safety and help and support. Noting that we are in times that indicate that the Lord is near. Asking as well that you would pray for me as I ask for prayers regarding job opportunities and things like that, and I ask blessings and prayers for my children, both Jamie and Sydney, and for my family.
Amen.
Amen.
I just am amazed at the flow of agreement. Margaret, I was going to have that same prayer request for those people.
Praise God. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Amen.
Look at God.
And the thing is,
this morning I went into my classroom, and I will not mention the young man's name, but his cousin was murdered this morning, shot. And when my colleague came across to tell me, it just took me back to Chicago. How many kids have I gone to their funerals? How many funerals have I officiated over senseless death? It is a demon. Satan comes to kill, steal and destroy. But there's a conjunction. Hallelujah. But I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. And God's mind has not changed. Our Savior's mind has not changed. The presence of the Holy Spirit and the mind of the Holy Spirit has not changed. And we must hold on to that. So that is my prayer. So as we go before the throne, is there anybody else that has any prayer requests? Let's go before the Lord. Lord, we praise you. We exalt you. We honor you. We love you. We bless your name. We thank you for this opportunity to come into your throne room. We thank you that as we study the words of your servant who is there in heaven with you right now, that by your Spirit, you are drawing us closer to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for an enriched prayer life. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your tender mercy. We thank you for your outstretched hand. We thank you for your providence. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of our family, God. We bless you. We honor you. We honor you. We worship you. We adore you. We extol you. We exalt you. You are altogether lovely, and we thank you that we are your children, and you are our God. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we bless you, and thank you for the healing of Margaret, and we come against all of these allergies and the stuffy head, and we thank you, and we touch and agree that Margaret walks in divine health. Lord, we thank you for the praise report that Mama is saved, 92 years old.
Amen.
It's never too late. It's never too late. And all of the angels in heaven are rejoicing. For Margaret's mom.
Amen.
There's a party going on right now in heaven. Yeah. We glorify you.
Amen.
And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, yes, all three of us on this call were thinking the same thing. And we know that it is by the Holy Spirit that we were thinking about the families of these victims, God.
Yes, Lord.
That they have to go on without their loved ones. Lord, by your Spirit and by your grace and by your power, we pray that you would comfort them. You are the Paracletus, Holy Spirit, the one that is called alongside to help, the one that's called alongside to counsel. Lord, send the comfort right now. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So comfort them now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Keep them in the center of your will and in the palm of your hand. Let them know you do care. Let them know that you were there and you were there all the time. Let them know, Lord, we come against bitterness, anger, strife, hatred, Lord God. And, Lord, we pray for them even when they don't understand, even when they're in their grief, whether they're in anger or bargaining or depression, Lord, heal them and take them through the grieving process, God. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. Bless them, God, we pray, in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
Lord, we thank you and stand in agreement with Dr. Susan for the revival in the church universal, God. We confess that we are a needy people. And your word tells us that if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will we hear from heaven. Then you would forgive our sins and heal our land. We confess, God. We stand in the gap for every bishop, every pastor, every lay person, every member of the church, whether it's in Africa or Asia or Europe or the Americas. God, we need a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit, an unrivaled revival, God. Lord, not even like Azusa Street or the Great Awakening, God, but an unrivaled revival or the Scottish revival or the Welsh revival. God, we need your power. We need your grace. We need your spirit. We need your presence, God. Lord, we confess. We stand in the gap, confess that our sins before us. Please forgive us our sins. Blot out all of our transgressions. Cleanse us from our iniquity, God. Lord, let the power of the Holy Ghost flow through the church, flow through every leader, flow through every pastor, every teacher, every evangelist, every prophet, God. Send your anointing to us, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray that the church would recognize that time is winding up. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. We want to be near you. We want to walk like you and talk like you. We want to be like you, Lord God. Lord, we bless you and honor you in Jesus' name. Remove those that are in the first responders that have the wrong motives, God. Let us have the ability to call for that help, and you send the right people, God. Do not let those that would just shoot us if we call the police department. Do not let those, even the first responders that turned that man over on his stomach and he died. We don't want those type of people, God. But, Lord, we root out, there it is, root out all of the bad seeds, God, in the name of Jesus,
well,
Christ of Nazareth.
Yeah.
Root them out, God. Root them out. Take them out of service from the EMTs to the firefighters, to the police officers. If they do not mean their fellow man any good, get them away, God. Expose them for who they are. And, Lord God, I pray for my friend, Dr. Susie. Pray for an open door for her. I have, glory to God, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it been revealed to the sons of men, the things that you have in store for our dear friend, our dear sister. Open door. Greater is coming. Greater is coming in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift up Sydney. We lift up James Sr. We lift up James Jr. Bless them, God, beyond their measure. Beyond measure. We know that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or even think, God, or imagine, or hope for, or wish for, or fantasize for, God. So, Lord, just God-sized blessings for that family, and God, for my students. Lord, touch him. Touch his family. And everybody that has suffered loss, senseless loss to gang violence, we pray that you would send angels. Yes, God. Send angels to the gangster disciples, the Blackstone Mafia, the Latin Kings, the Serranos, the M13, God, every gang member, the Bulldogs out in Fresno. Send angels. And let them know that Jesus is Lord. Send right ministers to have the word of God that has the right word to cause them to come out of that game God, you're able to do it, and we know we're not asking anything that is too hard for you. We bless you, we honor you, and be with us as we go into this Bible study. Lord, we need to hear from you. Send your word, and let your word come forth with power and with clarity and under the anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. God is able. God is able. Ooh. So as we come together on one accord tonight, we are going to continue reviewing the chapters to get us up to the epilogue. And we're going to just touch and agree, and we on just the brief points of the highlights so that we can get to the epilogue, because what we've discovered is that, you know, Dr. Spurgeon was teaching us about the different forms of prayer, and then he was giving illustrations or examples through the various chapters of those prayers. And we want to kind of touch basis on those and then go on to the next section. So we're not going to spend much time on them, but we're going to have Bishop is going to review those, and we're going to help him, and we're going to go on up through the epilogue. So it is 7:30 almost now, so we're ready to go. Bishop, let's go, let's go, let's go.
In the 14th chapter, bless the Lord, O my soul. He opens up saying, Lord, we are longing to draw near to you. And this reminds me of the song, Just a Closer Walk with You. Has anybody on the line ever had that prayer, just one of those exclamatory prayers? Tell us about it, Margaret.
Oh, did you? I thought you were talking about the hymn.
Have you ever had that prayer? That prayer you just want, Lord, I want to be closer to you.
I think
Yes.
Just seeking the Lord. Just seeking the Lord and focusing upon the Lord and praising him and seeking him, because sometimes you don't feel close. And then you have to search your conscience and see if there's something in the way. And sometimes you just pray. You pray to seek the Lord's presence. You beg him for his anointing.
And I love what you said, Margaret. You triggered something that, you know, sometimes we don't have that feeling of closeness, and oftentimes it's because we have not been in quiet time with the Lord. We haven't been seeking him daily or seeking God daily and talking to God on a regular. And so we feel distant. But be clear, God never goes anywhere. It's us that move away.
Thank you.
So if that's the reality, we need to do a check and be clear about where we are and go back to doing what we need to do, which is having that one-on-one time. And that's what I recommend for everybody, is that they do devotion with the Lord every day, and that they speak with God throughout the day, and that they have a conversation in the morning and at night before they lay down to rest. So that was awesome, Margaret.
Amen.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Amen.
So,
and I like the point, Dr. Susie, when Dr. Spurgeon says, we, you know, in this prayer, we could not come boldly to the throne of grace if it were not for our Lord, the mediator. Dr. Susie, can you please tell us what a mediator is, especially in this context? What is the mediator?
A mediator is similar to a liaison, a person who serves to represent. Pardon me?
Yes, there you go. We come in the name of Jesus. And it would be impossible for us to approach the throne. It's impossible for us to approach the throne room unless we have that mediator. And I want to move on. It says, our hearts want to pursue as we remember the greatness of each one of your favors. We thank God for everything. We thank God for waking us up this morning, for being able to get clothes and be in our right mind. We thank God for breath. We thank God for the blood running warm in our veins. That may seem elementary to some people, you know. But here it is right here. Our hearts want to pause as we remember the greatness of each. It's a great act for us to even blink our eyes. Huh? Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, and bless his holy name.
Holy name.
When we consider our utter unworthiness before conversion, hey, and our faultiness since, so even after we got saved, we done messed up. I said it in a country way. We messed up. We've made mistakes. We've fallen short. We cannot help
Amen.
But admire the riches of abounding grace that God has manifested to us unworthy ones. Bless the Lord. We've messed up. And
thank
I believe
you, Lord, for grace and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I believe it is God honors that when we know we've messed up. We can't hide from God. Isn't it amazing when Adam and Eve fail, the way that the Bible describes it, and they could hear the voice of God, the voice of God walking in the garden. The sound of God walking in the garden. They could hear it. Adam? He didn't say Adam and Eve. What did he say? Adam, where are you? God asked the question. He already knows the answer to. Where are you, Adam? What are you doing, Adam? When we think all that you have promised to give, what our faith embraces as being really ours, since the covenant makes it sure, we do not know how to proclaim abundantly enough the memory of your great goodness. In other words, and Dr. Susan, perhaps Margaret, you heard this. He's done so much for me. I can't tell it all. And you know, knowing certain people in the church, we shouldn't tell it all. Amen. some things we need to keep to ourselves, and only God knows. When we lift that hand up to worship and praise Him, only you and God know why you lifting that hand. We never rise so high. We don't ever get that high. We give to you, however, the praise of our entire being. Unto Jehovah, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the creator of the world, redeemer of men, unto Jehovah be glory forever and ever, and let all his people praise him. How important is praise, Margaret?
How important is prayer? Well,
praise.
Well, that's the only thing that we can give to the Lord in return
mm-hmm.
for all he has done for us. It's the only thing we can do is to praise him. And there's such a joy in it. It's liberating. It's
mm-hmm.
where the praising of God and communion with God taking place. It's a very safe place. It's a place where demons do not come near.
Yes, yes. The Bible says that he is enthroned on the praises of his people. It says,
mm-hmm.
let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Dr. Susie, what can we say about being in the hand of the enemy?
I'm sorry, what can we say about what?
What can we say being in the hand of the enemy? What can we say about that? What does it mean for a person to be in the hand of the enemy?
So being in the hands of the enemy, meaning that means the adversary or the devil has control or has that he's ruling in our lives. It's in the hands of the enemy. We submit it to him instead of at that particular time, at least.
And here's the thing. The thing is, go ahead, Margaret. You had something to say?
Oh, Bishop Michael, yes. I wanted to say that sometimes the enemy can get in, even into the thoughts of Christians, and just kind of hold them down. And we can become under the influence of thoughts that are not, you know, kind of attack, satanic attack. I think that's where Satan is most busy in the minds of people.
Yeah.
And we can be discouraged, and we need to praise God because God is great. There's no imperfection in God. We focus on the Lord, and our troubles melt away. We are communing with God. That is a way to deliver us from the hands of the enemy, because the enemy will attack us in our thoughts and minds.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I can hear you
Amen.
Now.
It says, may every child of yours have this conscience, have his conscience purged from dead works to serve the true and living God. May there be no cloud between us and our Heavenly Father. May not even a mist, not even the morning mist, is soon gone. May we walk in the light as God is in the light. May our fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, be unquestionable. People should be able to look at us and say, look, there's something different about them. We don't have to act all weird. We don't have to act all peculiar. People should be able to look at you and say, hey, there's something different. I recently went through something, and I won't go into it, but I tell you what, when I came out, everybody said, we knew, because of the type of person you are. He ever liveth. Our God, we come to you in 15. We come to you by Jesus Christ, who has gone within the veil on our behalf, ever liveth to make make intercession for us. That's one of the main reasons. He's the ever living. Our poor prayers never reach if you were not for him. But his hands are full of sweet perfume. His blood is sprinkled on the mercy seat. Dr. Susie, tell us something about the mercy seat. What is the mercy seat? It says, we know that you hear those who approach you through that blessed name. We have deeply felt our entire worthiness, even uplift our eyes to the place where your honor dwells. And we're going to move on to the great sacrifice. 16. Oh, Father, we well remember when we were called to you. How many of y'all remember the first time? How many of y'all remember when God started wooing you? Isn't it interesting that the relationship we have with God is the one who started the relationship. God showed interest in us first.
Amen.
Isn't that something? It's beautiful. Go ahead.
Bishop Michael, it just brings to mind that when we pray and ask and join with partnering with God, praying for people to be saved, to ask for help, to bring them to a faith, a saving grace with Jesus Christ as their Savior, well, that the Lord can do it. He did it with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get discouraged when we pray for family members for years, decades, a very long time, and the Lord can do it.
Yes, yes, yes. And here's the thing, the work was already done. And Spurgeon says here, we want to gaze upon the body of the Son of God, pierced with nails, parched with thirst, bleeding and dying, because it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief, Isaiah 53:10. We want to take afresh the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. We want to pay our vows now in the midst of all the Lord's people in the courts of his house. We bless him as he redeemed us unto himself, giving us worth unto himself, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with his what? His own precious blood. We're bought with a price. Listen to this. Salvation is not free. Hello?
Amen.
There's a price that was paid. We again declare ourselves today to be the Lord's. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Lord Jesus, renew your grasp of us. Take us over again with even greater speed than before. We surrender ourselves to you. So that's the great sacrifice we're talking about. I mean, it talks about the price that was paid in 17. Now we're in chapter 17. Oh, for more grace. Our Father, you do not hear us when we, excuse me. Our Father, you hear us when we pray. You have provided an advocate, an intercessor in heaven right now. Another word for advocate is like in the Navy, Army, Air Force. Well, sometimes the Air Force. No, excuse me. I'm not going to mess with the Air Force. I love you, Air Force veterans. God bless y'all. Thank you for what you do. But we have what you call the Judge Advocate General. The Judge Advocate General is a lawyer. And Jesus is our lawyer. So when you hear those preachers be praying, you're a lawyer that never lost a case. Yes, 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 he is. Is you have provided an advocate and intercessor in heaven. We cannot come to you unless your Holy Spirit gives us the desire and help. Oh, there it is right there. Who initiates the relationship? God, the Holy Spirit. He initiates the Holy Spirit. The initiation comes from God first to us. As a matter of fact, when we have that unction and that urge to pray, it's the Holy Spirit prodding us to pray.
Amen.
We do accept you, Lord Jesus, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We will not look outside of you for anything, for everything is in you. Go ahead.
And that's because that when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to reign and live with us, and it helps us to get where God wants us to be. And so that's why you have the unctioning, the leading, the guiding, and the directing of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. That's good, Dr. Susie. Forgive your servants, we pray, for any wanderings during the past. If we have forgotten you, do not forget us. If we have acted apart from you, forgive the act. Blot out the sin. Help us in the future to live only in you, to speak and to even think only in union with your living head. See that?
Amen.
That's really being transparent. It's like God knows the truth about us already anyway. All we got to do is admit it. Savior, look on your beloved ones and give blessings according to our necessities. We cannot pray a prayer that would comprise all, but you, our great intercessor, can plead for each one and get each one of us the blessing wanted. Amen. This is some good stuff right here. And then we go to the peace of God. Dr. Susie, what do you got to say about the peace of God?
Praise God for the peace of God. it talks about, it says, we do not stand far away as Israel did in Sinai. Y'all remember how Israel was afraid and they stayed away because why did they stand back? Heck, they were scared.
Because of the rumbling, the earthquake.
Well,
and the thing was, like, Moses, you the only one that can talk to God. We want to talk to God.
Well, they thought they did.
Let them sanctify themselves.
They thought they did.
Well, this is Margaret. I have a question. I wondered, I don't remember. I think I heard this word before, but does anyone know what it means? Well, the great propitiation?
Propitiation.
Mm-hmm. Substitution.
Yes.
Mhm. He took our place.
Propitiation.
Have you ever heard the song by Dottie Rambo wrote a song called "I Should Have Been Crucified." That's a beautiful song. They were coming to take me away. But, you know, and here's the propitiation. He said, Jesus said, let them go. Take me instead. That's your propitiation. Mm. Glory, glory, glory. We confess that we're guilty. We bow our heads and confess that we have broken your law and the covenant of which it
and
is
the,
a part.
And the cost of it is
again,
death.
Doctor, yeah. Yes.
Amen.
Jesus
peace
was
God,
willing to. Yeah.
So the peace of God has to do with the fact that Jesus is that mediator, as you're talking about, Bishop. And in his name it says we come to the mercy seat. And we remember the mercy seat, remember, when we talk about the Ark of the Covenant, was the lid in which Moses met with God.
Come
he would meet God at the mercy seat. And so when you come to the mercy seat, and remember that what they would do when you went to, what would they do on the mercy seat? They would do what? Sprinkle it with what?
Sprinkle the blood.
And between the mercy seat, the mercy seat, there were two cherubims. Remember, they were facing each other, protecting. And so, see, here comes the presence of God. Come on. So the peace of God, hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Protecting the presence of God, allowing us to come before they are standing guard. Well, we confess,
hallelujah.
Even though we're guilty. It talks about how, like you said, we've broken the covenant. But the grace of God, the propitiation, as Margaret was saying, for our sins, was taken place by our Lord and Savior.
Thank
He's
you,
our
Jesus.
High priest.
Mm-hmm.
And so the peace is what we get from having that relationship because he is our protector. He's our high priest. He's our intercessor. He's the one that has said, as you said, paid in full to tell us stuff for us.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of us, he went.
Yes.
Amen. So that's where the peace comes from. And Lord, help us to be obedient. Go ahead.
I love this next. This is powerful right here. That third paragraph. Holy Spirit, teach us how to pray. Let us know how to pray as we should. Our first prayer is, may you be adored and reign over the whole earth. Hallowed be thy name. Oh, my. I need you. We need you, Holy Spirit, to teach us how to pray and to let us know how to pray. may you be adored, and may you be adored and reign over the whole earth. Hallowed be,
amen.
Holy is your name.
So,
and it says
so,
right there. Go ahead, Dr. Susan.
Go ahead. It says there. Go ahead. Now, you complete that thought.
You know, where it says here, holy be thy name. Lord, sanctify me. Make me obedient. Write down your law upon my heart. That is the clearest definition in action of what holiness really is.
So
I have been
so,
on the search. Dr. Susie, go ahead.
So we only, it's 8 o'clock, Bishop. So what we have to do is understand that this is talking about the peace of God. That's the focal point of this chapter. And so the peace of God is just talking about how the Spirit of God dwells in us, because the Lord said he put his Spirit in us. And it's that peace that rules over us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, and therefore we have the peace of God because we're owned by God. We belong to God. And we don't have to worry. Amen. So as we look at to be like Christ,
yeah,
we got to make it to the end. So what does it mean to be like Christ, Bishop?
It means to pray like him, walk like him, minister like him, love like him. And how are we going to find that out?
By spending time with the Lord.
Come on.
That's it.
By praying.
Yes. Having that intimate relationship that he calls for.
Now, isn't it interesting that at the beginning of this teaching with Dr. Spurgeon, isn't it interesting he made references to, you know, reading a prayer? And I don't have any problem with that. But unless that prayer is coming from your heart, you might as well read Moby Dick. You might as well read A Christmas Carol. But when that's coming from your heart, see, when we talk to God, we're actually having a what? A conversation. And prayer is a dialogue. I'll say it again. Prayer is a dialogue. We talk to God, and guess what? God talks to us.
And we got to listen.
And,
amen.
And
well,
Bishop Michael,
ahead, Dr. Susan.
We... Oh.
Go ahead,
Mark.
Oh, we got to listen is what she said. But I just had to say that where he used the prayer that we should pray, many of our prayers should include Holy Scriptures in them, such as, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. And then he concluded that chapter saying, Now hear us as we pray for those in government and all in authority, and ask your blessing to rest upon this land. Let your blessing extend over all the family of man. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
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 And this is Dr. Susie. So in order to be like Christ, he wants us to understand everything that Christ did for us, the blood, the wounds, the death, so that we may live our lives among men with Christ through us, Christ living through us, living, operating, focusing through us, that they may see God's works through us. So that's how we are to be like Christ. We're supposed to be that way every day, to walk in that so that others can see and wonder, what must I do to be saved? They must ask the question. They must believe in by looking at us and seeing the way that we walk, that we are living epistles for the Lord, and the Spirit, the life of Jesus Christ, who's made us free, would help us to live that kind of life in front of others and then encourage them to have that same desire. Amen. So then we want to talk about the look of faith. So when we talk about the look of faith, it says, wherever you are, mercy abounds. before your feet rivers of grace spring up. When you come to man, it is with the fullness of pardoning of love. Pardoning of love. Because you bid us to come and seek you while you may be found. We come now, may your Holy Spirit help us. May Jesus lead the way and be our mediator. He's saying that we would operate by faith. That we would operate knowing, believing, trusting, and seeking Christ while we can find him, that the Holy Spirit would help us. And we do all that by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
We do it by faith. I mean, it's very, that one's very simple. It doesn't require a whole lot. It's just that we operate and we move by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. Amen.
By faith.
And what does he mean when he talks about the boldness of the throne of grace? What does boldness have to do with this? Why would we have to be bold? Especially, I'm going to mess with Martin because she's always so. What'd you say, Bishop? So what?
It's a bold act to enter into the throne room. Amen.
And we, but don't we take that for granted? Don't we take that for granted, though?
We
think we can just go straight there. It's no big sacrifice, no big thing. We just walk up in the room. Why do you say it's not?
No, I'm just saying you don't want to do that. You don't want to just walk up in there. Oh, no.
Well,
you barely going to get an audience with King Charles. And we're talking to the king of kings. He's King Charles, king of lords. You just going to walk up in there like that? With all the 24 elders bowing down, the angels, Michael up there, Gabriel up there, you just going to walk up in there. The seraphim
and holy, holy,
in and out. Come on.
Yes.
And you just going to walk up in there. What did John do?
But don't we think we're doing that, though, Bishop? Isn't that what we do?
Yes, we do.
We just roll over and get on, you know, don't even get on our knees. We just start talking. Understanding that we have to be ushered into the room. We have to
pray.
Because we want to
draw near to you. Oh, go ahead.
Yes, we do. We want to draw near. Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
Because we want to draw very near to you through Jesus Christ, the mediator, and we want to be bold to speak to you as a man speaks to his friend. Have you not said by your spirit, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace? We might well flee from your grace if we only remembered our sinfulness. Oh, there it is right there. There it is right there.
Boldness at the throne of grace. So we can be bold if we understand one thing. That as we go, the only way we can make the approach is because of the blood of the Lamb. Come on, somebody.
The blood.
The only way we can do is that when we pray, and don't get it twisted to think that your prayers are, I've heard people go, and Father God, and thank you, Lord, and Father God, and Father, they say Father God like 50 times. and the repetition. No, I'm not trying to be funny. What I'm trying to say is that when we're approaching, it's not the repetition that does it. It's the blood of Jesus. It ain't got nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the blood of Jesus that allows you to even come before the throne. And you have to understand that when you're offering your prayers, God is seeing his son. God is seeing his blood.
Amen.
God is seeing his sacrifice. Just so that we can be heard. Hallelujah. Because there's nothing that in our human capacity that we could do to even be able to get our prayers even heard. And don't think, women, don't even think we can come up in there without confessing too. You know, we think, oh, we're going to go before the Lord. Now, you might go before the Lord. You might offer your prayers every night. But guess what? Do you think they've been heard? I would challenge that sometimes they're not, because we have sinned. We have not confessed that sin. We have not confessed that guilt. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about y'all. I'm going to have to tell the truth. But I know that day doesn't go by and I don't do something simple. Something simple. Even if it's a sin or omission, I may not even be thinking I did it. So I go before the Lord like, Lord, I don't know what I did today. And sometimes I do know what I did, and I'm going to ask you to forgive me for that. And set me in a right place so that I can petition you. I can bring forth the desires of my heart so that you can hear me. Because if you don't do that, that's a separation between you and God. So you need to understand that it's, as you come before him, you got to confess. You got to confess, because we fall short of the glory of God. And be bold when we come.
Doctor, sometimes prayer and communing with the Lord in prayer and confessing our sins, sometimes the Lord will reveal a sin to you that you weren't even aware of.
That's
you may have done wrong to someone, and you didn't even think
then,
it. But you might have hurt someone or done harm.
But then when it's revealed to you, you still got something to do with it. You have to confess it. You have to still confess it and ask for forgiveness. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that one. I messed up there. I need your grace and mercy to help me so that I can come before you with thanksgiving and praise and offer up the very thing that you've been blessing me with. I need to be able to come before you, Lord, and I can't do it unless you give me a clean heart so that I can follow you.
Amen.
Yes.
So...
Yes.
And the next is the presence of the word. That's what the next thing he talks about is the presence of the word. So, Bishop, when he's talking about the presence of the word, what's he talking about?
Well, he's talking about God's written word, and who another name for Jesus is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Our Father in heaven, our hearts are full of gratitude to you for your word. We bless you that you have in it our homes, that you have given us many of understanding and enjoyment of it all. Although, as yet, we do not know what we will know, we have learned from it, and we never can forget that which has changed our life. I know for a fact. I've seen people that I was in the Navy with. I was in the Navy with several guys. They all got born again, and it is because of the word. A couple of my friends, we all got saved at the same time. A couple of them were Marines, and y'all know Marines need to be saved. But
Stop.
Well, I have to tell you, I have to interrupt here, but we went to the hardware store today, and there was a guy with a T-shirt, and it said Marines, and on the bottom it said Zero Lives Matter.
What is this? What
and
now?
My husband, it said, he had a T-shirt. It said, you know, the Marines on the top, and on the bottom it said Zero Lives Matter. And my husband, I asked him, I said, did you see that? Did I read that wrong? He said, no, I saw it too. It was weird. I don't know if it was a protest against the Marines, but it looked like a Marine T-shirt.
Wow.
But here's the thing. We got born again. And what is the difference that was made in our lives? The Word of God.
Yes.
The Word of God is quick, which means it's alive and powerful. You can be alive and not powerful. The Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing between the joint and the marrow, even down to the very intent of the heart. So the Word of God can show us our own intentions. The heart is a deceitful and wicked thing. Who can know it? God can.
But we are saved according to the word of God.
There it is.
the description of how to be saved is found in the Word of God.
Yeah.
It's to accept the Lord Jesus into our hearts as mm-hmm. our divine Savior.
Amen.
Yeah. So it says here, we thank you for the manifestations of him in the types and shadows of the Old Testament. What's a type and shadow, Dr. Susie?
You can go and tell him, Bishop.
The types and shadows, as Moses lifted up, it's in the Old, in the New Testament, in John the 3rd chapter, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must I be lifted up. The serpent, when everybody was grumbling and complaining, God sent fiery serpents into the midst of the people. And if you looked up on the brazen serpent, the bronze that Moses had crafted, if you looked up, you shall be saved. That's a type and shadow of Christ. So it was a preview of a coming attraction. You look in the Old Testament, it's telling you something and of what's going to happen. Amen. So...
So to break that down, because that was kind of for beginners, you got to be able to break that down when you talk about type and shadow. So you got what you were saying is that it was a foreshadow of what was to come. So if he was lifted up, as he was in the wilderness, the future was that he would be lifted up on Calvary on the cross. I'm just saying, break it down so that they would understand what you're saying. That's all. We got you. Just going to break it down, that's all.
He says, now as we read the scriptures of the New Covenant, we understand the language of the Old and are made to joy and rejoice in it. Father, we thank you for the book. We thank you for the glorious man, the God whom the book reveals as our Savior.
Yeah.
Amen.
The Word of God.
God's unspeakable gift. We have 15 minutes and we have to do 4. God's unspeakable gift. So it says, O Lord, may... Many of us feel like the lame man at the beautiful gate. Y'all remember the gate beautiful where the man was sitting there and he couldn't get in. And so he said, you can do by your servant today what you did by them in olden times. He worked the miracles. And that's what he's talking about. There are many who feel like the man who was restored, but we want to follow the restorer, the Prince of Life, into the temple. We want to walk, we want to leap, we want to praise. So the question is, we have to be made whole. We have to be made new. And God's unspeakable gift is what?
The salvation through Jesus Christ.
Salvation
Eternal
through Jesus
life.
Christ, a relationship, his love. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Being born again, being able to be trust in him and the miracle of being able to receive, being able to walk by faith, being able to understand that it's not us, but it's what God is doing in us and through us, according to his word. So we have to put forth Christ.
Yes.
Okay. And deliver us from evil. What's he talking about when he's saying deliver us from evil? Come on, Bishop, you do this one. Deliver us from evil. What's he talking about?
Deliver us from evil. It's like we can, well, he says, God, do not let us be formalists or hypocrites during this time of prayer. We feel how easy it is to bow our head and cover our, in other words, we got to be for real. We got to be for real. And delivering us from evil, evil is always present. Yes or no, it is. And we have to be delivered from it. Deliver us from the evil and what? The evil one. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And if we always have the attitude that we're in the presence of God, then we have a different posture in which we deal with life. So we always have to be thinking, okay, we're in the presence of, we're in the immediate presence of God. So that helps us understand how our thoughts need to be.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. So.
And on this, I'm gonna be brief on it. A lot of times, you know, people say the devil, and a lot of things, it ain't the devil. There's some things just not the devil. But when it happens, we have power to speak to those things and say no, not here. Amen. We can speak to those things, and we have authority over the devil. It says washing of water by the word. Washing of water by the word. Said, Holy Spirit, Holy Father, keep your people, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Though they are in the world, do not let them be of the world. What does that mean? But may there be a marked distinction between, there's what it means right there, be a marked distinction between them and the rest of mankind. We're supposed to be different. We can look like them, but we don't have to act like them. We can look like the world. We can go to work with the world. But we have to say, you know, when yes, our yes has to be yes and our no has to be no. Amen? May
right.
they follow
and what you,
him.
And go so ahead, when Bob. You're talking about look like the world, you just mean the fact that we're living here. But our behavior and
yes.
how we operate has to be different. We're washed by the word of God. The word of God is what keeps us purified. The word of God is what keeps the evil one from touching us. We'll be tempted, but we won't let him prevail because we have the word that helps us to stand. He lays snares, but no weapon formed against us shall prosper. The washing of water by the word. We have the word that covers and keeps us and restores us and maintains us. That's what he's saying. So prayer answered and unanswered. Let's look at that one. Amen. Prayer answered and unanswered. It says, God of Israel, our Lord and King forever and ever, help us by the Sacred Spirit to approach you. That's what we're talking about, prayer. Approaching God in prayer with reverence, not fear, with holy boldness and not presumption, but teach us how to speak to the Father as creatures that bow before our Maker. So what is he talking about there, y'all? It's an attitude. It's a posture. It's understanding who we are and whose we are. Amen?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's right
even
there.
Even in the way that...
Go ahead.
Even in the way that we approach him, it's a place where we humble ourselves. We bow to our Maker. We don't tell our Maker what to do. I've never seen a pile of clay on the potter's wheel tell the potter what it wants to be. Oops. Okay, go ahead, Dr. Susie.
Well, the key right here is says we want to first ask you whether you have anything against us. Did we do something wrong? Because if we ask and we're asking amiss, if we haven't already clarified and confessed and got that clean. And then we got an attitude.
Yes.
Have you given us what we sought? We're not conscious of it, he says, but it may be. So now we're brought as an answer to our presumptuous prayer in a more difficult position than the one we had before. So what he's trying to say here is that he's asking the question that some creature comfort is nearer to us than our God. We want to be close to God. We want to have that relationship with God. We want to dwell in God's presence. So that's where our joy is. And when God answers... It says, if our position is not such as you would have allotted to us had we been wiser. Nevertheless, grant that we may be taught to behave ourselves. Well, I think it's saying that prayer will be answered when we are obedient to the Lord. And when if it is unanswered, it's because we have asked amiss. And we need to make sure when we ask that we are asking in the right way, according to the right way. With all of the things that out of the way, that we don't have any hindrances. Margaret was saying that we got that relationship because we prayed and because we studied and because we know what it is to ask for, because we know what the Word is telling us. He's not going to do that which is not in the Word, but if it's in the Word, we can ask for it. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Answered and unanswered, And then the last thing is the epilogue, the golden key of prayer. You want to do that one, Bishop?
And we'll the stop epilogue. We're doing the epilogue, or we're doing the...
the epilogue, the golden key of prayer. We're at the epilogue. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee.
And show thee great things and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Some of the most learned works in the world smell of midnight oil. And I mean, what is midnight oil? When you sit over there and labored and studied and researched and come to the correct synthesis and put that all together. But most of the spiritual and most comforting books and sayings of men usually have an aroma about them of damp prison. I could cite many instances, but John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress suffice instead of 100 others, and is good scripture text of ours, all moldy and chilled with the prison in which Jeremiah lay, nevertheless a brightness and a beauty about it, at the might never have had it had it not come as a cheering word to the prisoner of the Lord who was shut up in the court of the prison house. A lot of things that we deal with, sometimes hard times makes us go there. Sometimes being alienated, sometimes being persecuted for God's sake. The Apostle Paul, the prison epistle, some of the most powerful sayings in the prison epistles, put on the whole armor of God. As he's looking at a prison, as he's looking at a Roman soldier, that's where that revelation comes from. The sword of the spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. That came from being in prison.
So this is Dr. Susie. Go ahead, Margaret. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say that he continued, God's people have always, when in the worst of conditions, found out the best of their God. He is good at all times, but he seems to be at his best when they are at their worst.
Amen.
How could
and so
you
we
bear your
pray.
Long imprisonment so well?
That's right.
It's,
and how did he do it?
By the divine consolations of martyrs were with me, and doubtless there is a consolation deeper and stronger than any other which God keeps for those who, being his faithful witnesses, have to endure exceedingly great tribulation from the enmity of man.
So what he's saying is whenever we are having hard times, we're struggling, we are at war, we're fighting, whatever's not right, we can call on the matchless name of Jesus. We can call on our God, because when we're at our worst, God is at God's best. When
Amen.
We have need and we are down and out, that's when we know that we have a Savior who can do all things but fail. And that's what he's saying. We can trust in God when we're afflicted, because that's when God shows up. And that's the key. That is the golden key of prayer, is knowing that you know that you know that you know that God
Amen.
Will always be there.
Mm.
God, that's why we say God is good all the time.
All the time.
It ain't got nothing to do with us. It has to do with the fact that the God that we serve is always going to be there. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he has always been true to his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Praise
we come
God.
Before you and we say that. Amen. So that
Amen.
Is a culmination of book three. And we're so excited that Dr. Spurgeon gave us examples and taught us about prayer. And then he went through and gave us at least 15 different, maybe 20 types of prayers that we could pray as an example. So we would know all the way from understanding, bless the Lord all our soul, that he lived as sacrifice, grace, peace of God, be like Christ. He's given us admonition, encouragement. He's given us fuel. He's given us resources, and these are the things we rely on when times are hard. And the bottom line is, we can always go to God for prayer. Yes, that's right, Margaret.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So as we close tonight, Bishop, you want to close us out? Margaret, you want to close us out, either of you?
Yes.
ahead.
I guess, Margaret, do you want to close us out?
Well, I think you do it so well, Bishop. I just have to defer to you. I love to hear you. You teach me to do it better every time.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, thank you. I'm humbled. But prayer is, woman, man, you've been listening to us. And one of the things that we can say, all of us that are on this radio program, and those of you, there's people that are leaders out there listening to us, we will all agree on this one thing, all of us. Prayer is our lifeline. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And prayer is a privilege, but I'm going to tell you another thing. Prayer is work. and the best way we can work with God through prayer. If you don't have that relationship with God, let me ask you to do this. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you a sinner. I ask that you would forgive me all of my sins, cleanse me from all of my iniquities. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. For with the mouth man confesses, but with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Forgive me of my sins. Blot out all of my transgressions. And, Lord, I accept you. I receive you as my Savior. In Jesus' mighty name. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, you are born again. And welcome, family of God. And now I'm going to turn you back over to Dr. Susie.
We are so excited to have you guys with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night. And as we come, we ask that you join us again next Tuesday. But in doing so, we ask you bring a friend with you. Bring someone who you guys can talk about the word to. And we just ask that whatever you learn tonight, you won't keep it to yourself, but that you will share it with your family, with friends, with your neighbors, and that you will tell them what you have learned about the goodness of our Lord and Savior. Amen. So as we go, remember that if you want to join us next week, feel free to call in. And the number to call is, it is 646-478-4932. I'll give you that number again. It is 646-478-4932. And if you'd like to call and let us know you accepted the Lord, feel free to send us an email at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. God's blessings be with you, and we look forward to seeing you and talking with you again next week. God's blessings be with you, and we look forward to seeing you next week. That means I'm seriously looking for y'all. We'll see you next week.
Amen. Amen.
Good
Amen.
Night.
God bless y'all. Good night. Love
God
y'all.
Bless you too. Love you. Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.